seen one of these in a long time. So anyway, I'm going to be over here and just try not to make it over here, but it's like
somehow we were.
Let's get started. Please welcome Martin Landau. Charlie Tehan. Director Tim Burton. Producer Allison Abate. And Winona Ryder. Let's just get started. I think we can keep it conversational. Who's got the first question?
All right. Good night. Yeah, see you.
There
you go.
You're one of the bigger names in stop motion animation. And for any aspiring stop motion animators,
say, come and join us.
Yeah, exactly.
We need,
send us your team.
We need good. I mean, it's such a rarefied field, and that's the thing. I mean, we've worked on three, and each time we almost have to start over because, you know, people go off and do different things, and it's such a beautiful rarefied medium. And you know, oftentimes, like on projects, we'll start with people that aren't good animators. By the end, they're great animators. So just keep doing it because it's a beautiful art form.
Absolutely.
Black and white seems to be a running theme in a lot of your films. Can you talk a little bit about what inspires you to keep coming back to the black and white kind of, you know, tone and things like that?
Well, Martin looks really good in black and white. I think everybody. No, I mean, there's something that's beautiful about it, and the idea of doing this movie in stop motion in the 3D, it just felt very special. And there's something about it that it's strangely emotional. It's hard to describe. It's like if this movie had been in color, I don't think it would have the same vibe to it that it does. So there was an emotional aspect to it, and and also kind of, because it's based on those old horror films, it seemed appropriate to it. And so we just feel lucky and blessed that we were able to do it in black and white.
The 3D effect actually worked really well for the stop motion, and it actually had a lot of detail and nuance that I wasn't necessarily expecting. Was there any hesitations like about doing the film in 3D?
No, because the thing is, if you've ever been on a stop motion set, that's the beauty of it. It's like you're in an actual environment. You feel the puppets. There's a texture to it. And the 3D element just brings out all the beautiful things that the artists do. You know, the painting of a prop and the making of a prop. It's like it gives the audience the feeling of like what it's like to be on a stop motion set. So it only, to me, all yeah, of us, it only absolutely enhances it.
And the black and white, I think, you know, really looks, really pops, the black and white.
I've got a question for Charlie. Did you get a crash course in monster movies to learn where some of these references that they are in the film were from?
You know, I know like the Gremlins and Gamera stuff. He didn't like tell me specifically to like go and watch any of them, but I've seen like a couple here and there.
Do you have a particular favorite creature or monster?
Frankenstein. It's where most of the jokes come from.
Tim, there's a remarkable amount of work put into Sparky the dog. It's amazing, all the detail and such. Tell us a little bit about your own experience with your own dog when you were young that influenced you on that.
Well, I had that first relationship you have with a pet is so pure, you know, and the dog I had this disease called distemper, and it was not meant to live for very long, end up living quite a long time, but this special relationship, and there was always a specter of death hanging over it, which I, you know, as a child, you don't really understand, but after growing up with Frankenstein movies, that sort of was your introduction to death and that kind of thing, so that's why it seemed like such an easy fit. It seemed quite, you know, natural.
Tim, could you talk a little bit about the music and bringing Danny Elfman into this particular project? I know in the original 1984, film version. You had two different composers.
Yeah.
And I know that since you obviously collaborate with Danny Elfman, he's wonderful. And could you talk to me a little bit about the process of music with you when you guys first get together on a project like this particular one?
Well, we've known each other for so long. I think, you know, he just tries to get into the spirit and the vibe of it. And, you know, he's like me. He loved old monster movies as well. So it was quite easy. I mean, especially, you know, we started making, you know, in the film industry around the same time. So we like the same things. That's why we're friends. That's why, you know, he's been, especially with the stop motion ones, he loves that as well. So, you know, he's just like another character. He's like another actor. Like these guys, you know, just helping bring it to life.
Building off of a question that was asked earlier about the dog, the story is really heartwarming and sweet, but at the same time, there's a real intensity, particularly at the end. How careful did you have to be about balancing the authenticity or bringing sort of the monsters to life at the end of this movie and making them intimidating and scary and not overwhelming maybe sort of family audience with story?
Well, I think people forget, you know. I mean, I remember going to, when we first did the short, and then, you know, they go, oh, this is too weird, and then they showed Pinocchio, and kids were running out screaming in the theater. You know, it's like Disney founded its company on, you know, having things that were scary, and I think people kind of forget that. And to me, this was really safe. I never was worried about it because they're little puppets, for God's sake.
It seems to kind of be a return to form. There's a lot of elements that kind of call back to Edward Scissorhands and obviously Winona working with her again. Where was the decision to kind of make your short from 84 into a full feature?
Well, just over the years, it was like memories, you know? It's like there was more memories from that time, you know, having to do with other kids in school, teachers, you know, kind of relationships you would have with people and you know, other kids and, you know, then other monsters. So we tried to make everything sort of personal that way. That's why I was so, you know, wanted to, you know, work with Martin again and Winona and, you know, Catherine O'Hara and Martin, people that I've worked with before, because it was important for me to kind of make this as personal as possible, you know. And what Charlie brought to it was very, you know, what I liked about it. I heard his voice before I even meet him, because I just wanted to hear him and see the character, and, you know, he just got such a reality. It's just something that reminded me of back at that time that was important to the project.
I wanted to ask the actors what it's like for you, the process of working on a film like this, what you enjoy about it, what you don't enjoy about it, how it is working with Tim, the difference in directing you and stuff.
It's really easy. No, just like just doing like animation, don't have to worry about like hair and makeup and stuff like that.
That is a club.
Was making the
story
with
I'm
so sorry.
Oh, it's all right. Well, Tim sent me sketches of this character, and I read the script and I just loved it. I mean, I appeared in it. The thing that I love about it is that the animation came after the voice, and you know, we played. The great thing about a director like Tim is he creates a playground, and I visualize this character as if I were to act it, you know, behaviorally. And the thing that is mind-boggling is when I saw the film, it's exactly what I would have done. I mean, it also looks a bit like me as a young man, and Vincent Price as well. Mm-hmm. And the character is the script says he's a generic European. He's not, you know, in Ed Wood I was Hungarian, but this is not Hungarian, not Russian, not, it's European.
So seriously.
But I love this character because he's eccentric, idiosyncratic, tender, a zealot, and totally undiplomatic.
You're here. Yeah, exactly. And wise beyond his years.
If you're a teacher and you tell your kids' parents that they're stupid, you're not going to last at that job. Anyway, everything about this character was something that resonated with me. And I feel this is more Tim. The fact that he has kept this movie alive in his mind for all these years, I mean, the one addition is a 3D, but he would have made this very film 30 years ago if he could. And I'm so happy that he made this film. And I love this film. And I wouldn't be here if I didn't.
He said was so amazing. Well, the question was, well, it was very special to do something. Obviously, I would do anything with Tim. Because it was so personal and for him, and I really sort of drew on a little bit on my character, Lydia. I imagined her as a little girl from Beetlejuice, but also on what I imagined Tim was like, you know, at that age, and that sort of just the sort of shy but like super creative, and that love for, it's really a love letter to your, that first relationship, like Tim said, I had one, and it's equally as important to you as any relationship, and it stays with you for the rest of your life. And working this way was actually really, it's really interesting, because yeah, you're not in hair and makeup and on an actual set, but Tim actually used some of the same direction that he used some of the same actual words that he used on the first time on Beetlejuice, which was just, you know, to keep it very real, you know, because visually it's so unique and sort of stunning there's the purity of that, of being that age. And so I actually was just keeping it. You did this a lot. Keeping it.
Did you enjoy singing? Did you enjoy that part of it?
I was so grateful that I got to be able to be nervous singing, because really want to be singing, because. Yeah, that would have been hard, but that was also great fun to work with Danny so directly. I just sort of tried to play that it very very real, because visually it's so amazing. So this is a really 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 special one for me, and I'm so happy and honored to have been in it.
Speaking to your singing, not only you sing in the movie, but you also have a track on the soundtrack.
Someone told me.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yes, you are.
Praise be to New Holland.
It's the same song.
Wow.
You're on there.
It's a number one.
It's a hit, I'm telling you.
That's my
It'll
first.
It'll be on Radio Disney.
Is that your first single?
That's my first
set. First and last.
First time on a soundtrack, I think.
There you go.
Didn't know if they could get any qualms about being on iTunes now. Say, you're singing
with it. Oh, is that what it means?
I don't know.
I mean,
you might want to talk to your lawyer about that.
Download.
I can't imagine that people skipping to that track.
it's so charming, and the lyrics are so funny. I think they will.
Like a lot of amazing. Yeah.
You got good company. You have Karen O and Passion Pit, playing Eclipse to lead into you.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, God.
You're setting it up.
I just remember doing the extended that at the end. I was like, like I kept doing that.
I'm not sure. I've not heard the track, but we'll see which one it is.
Yeah, I wonder how much of it is, because I know there's some action going on.
Well, this is it. It's that's going to go on iTunes now.
There you go.
Oh boy.
Just the notes.
Allison, do you and Tim have any future things that you all are?
We're always thinking about something. But,
yeah, right. Always thinking about something.
But not going to give us any details.
No, because there's something that I haven't even told her about yet.
Thanks for asking the question.
There was a rumor about a sequel to Beetlejuice. Was there any possibility to that? Any validity?
No, I mean, writers writing it, but I just sort of said, don't just surprise me. So I don't know when it's coming, if it's going to be any good. Whatever.
We'll see.
How's that for an answer? I mean, that's a real answer.
A lot of the movie monsters, were there any that didn't fit in there, or that you tried to get?
No, I think that, sir, we sort of whittled it down kind of right from the beginning. I mean, I don't, we didn't take anything out.
No.
No.
That was right.
Oh, I like them all. I mean, I, you know, I.
Oh, babies. You can't really pick.
You know, I mean, I love my Japanese monsters. I love my Frankenstein. I love them all. That's why, you know, that's one of the reasons I wanted to do the movie, you know. Yeah. Climactic battle between the hamster and the turtle.
So, it was perfect. Working together was just perfect.
Well, yeah, I mean, life is not perfect, but this was about as close as it could.
Other than the hard, the difficulty.
Yeah,
of the
process, ask the animators this question.
And also just because it's so personal, just knowing, wanting to please him, I think, just for the animators especially, it was like, it wasn't just to animate a shot, you were animating something that you really wanted to, you to bring it to life.
Honestly, they really are the ones, because that is really hard job. I mean, you know.
Did you feel a little like Godzilla?
It is beautiful. I mean, if you ever have the opportunity to go onto a set and see, I mean, it is, you get quite excited, you know.
It's bringing things to life.
I have a question about, it started as a full length and then became short,
No, it was always a short.
Okay,
yeah.
So
yeah.
I was wondering how much of, if it was a full length.
No, it was always, it was like when Disney used to do those things where they'd have an animated film and then they'd have like a nature, like, you know, Charlie the Crazy Hollywood Cougar, you know, those back in the old days.
My favorite.
That was the intent at the time. It didn't pan out.
Did you pull it off from the Amazing Stories episode, The Family Dog, that you and Steven Spielberg had worked with for the actual design of Sparky?
No, I mean, the problem is with me, my drawings all look the same. So, you know, it's like I can't really help my, you know, I mean, I have a fairly limited range.
Tim, I was wondering how much of the end result changed along the way based on working with these actors?
Well, the great thing about them is, and what's great too is that they inform, you know, the voices. I mean, they go back and do, you know, they probably came in several times to do pickups and things here and then. But initially, it helps the animators. I mean, honestly, what Martin said, you know, because we filmed them on a little camera just for the animators so that they can, you know, because the animators love seeing, just even if they're standing there, they still get something in their personality, and they love that. It's important to them. It's not just about the voice. So it's, you know,
the hanging.
Yeah, when I was doing my hanging, I mean, I was really doing the movements because it helps me,
process.
But also, you know.
Actually, they definitely take right from those things.
Yeah, that's very important.
So much of your stuff is obviously influenced by horror, and obviously you had Dark Shadows earlier this summer. Would you ever want to do something that was a little more straight genre, straight horror, or is that something that's kind of...
I don't know. I have such a funny, because I had such a love of horror movies, and none of them ever really scared me.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm much more scared by real life. So, you know, I don't know what, I don't know, you know, I don't know. I mean, maybe. I just don't know what that would be.
I was talking to somebody last night who's affiliated with the company that is basically the lawyers for Toho. And they said there was a little bit of resistance from them about using Shelley as a monster in that. And can you speak to how that eventually got resolved? Like,
it's something different. I mean, you know, I can talk about, I've seen at least three other turtle monsters in other films. And I mean, you know, they can't, you know, there's no such, you know.
Yeah, but it's
he doesn't fly, he doesn't spin around. And
yeah, it doesn't breathe fire.
He doesn't breathe fire, he's not radioactive. I mean, there's lots of differences.
Yeah.
Did Dante and Landis just love? Do they know what...
Well, I wasn't making any real conscious references, but I mean, somebody said that there was a Ghoulies reference as well, which I was aware of. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know what anybody thinks.
Yeah.
Nobody's seen it really.
Was making the short from the original? So you always wanted to make a long length film, or so you had to put a lot of pauses in?
Well, it took some time. I mean, it was just more, again, took many years, but it was during those years it was time to think about other characters and the kids and the different relations and monsters and things. So it was nice to not have the pressure of having to do it, you know, once a project's going. So how many years? Several years?
Couple of 3 years.
Yeah.
Also, the medium seems like it was the perfect time as far as stop motion, like the advancements in puppetry and all that stuff. It worked.
Martin, what is the time frame like for you doing an animated film versus actually having to get into makeup and things like that in a live action? How much is it easier for you? Do you find that it's just as much work?
Well, it's not just as much work, but it's unique because I also did a voice in a film that Tim produced, Nine. And I don't do a lot of these, and only with Tim, actually. But it's fun to work with Tim, and I keep saying that because he's open to anything and everything, and he makes suggestions. He doesn't have to finish his sentence most of the time because I know what he wants, and we're kind of on the same plane in an odd way. You know, we're very different people, but you know, he can say, "You want to rehearse?" And I say, "Yeah," and then we'll rehearse, and he'll come up and he'll say, "You know," and I say, "Yeah," because I know what's missing in an odd way. And then I say, "Let's go again," and we do it, and he'll come up and say, "That's exactly." And we shoot it. it's hard to explain, excepting when I read something he's interested in, I understand it. And I know in an odd way what it needs. I think if he doesn't like it, he'll tell me, and he doesn't tell me. So we just do it. And it's not hard. I mean, it's, I don't know. You better ask him.
It's like telepathic.
I have a great time with him.
That's good because no. I have trouble finishing my sentences. Thank God that you're able to, guys. I'm lucky to work with people where they pretend like they understand what I'm trying to get.
It's
good. It's very clear without being clear.
Is that clear to everybody?
Speaks to his parents. It's like very of the time, of current time. It's like everything else seems like timeless, but it's like that seems very much of like speaking to what's happening right now. Was that a combination of the both of you?
Well, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, well, it's Martin. You know, the great thing is, and this is again what I was saying about earlier about the actors and stuff. All these people and like Catherine O'Hara and Martin Short, they're so good at sort of like improvising and but being real, and so I mean, you know, we just with that one we just knew, just wanted to build up and keep building, and so I mean that's just the way, you know, it was written.
Said, you know, just go
for it.
Keep going.
John August's script was good. That was one of my favorite parts of the script.
He's an idiosyncratic character who loves. You know, I understand him in a certain way because, you know, the guy who runs General Motors knows something about making cars. And a lot of people in the movie business know nothing about making movies. And a lot of people who direct actors don't know anything about acting. So I understood this character on a lot of levels. You know, he's a guy who wants people to appreciate science. And he's also very sensitive, and he sees in Victor himself as a young man. And the parents are who they are, and the word stupid evolved, actually.
Yeah.
It wasn't in the script originally.
But yeah. We put that in.
Stupid, and it was a great change.
Yeah.
Because you know, I agree with
him. Martin, I called him and said, "Can you just do one word?" It was a one word session.
Exactly.
He was in London, actually, and I was in Los Angeles. And we literally looped one word. I think we ran the whole sentence.
Oh, yeah.
So it wouldn't stick out as one word.
Yeah.
But we did it like three times, and he said, see you later.
Yeah, perfect.
This needs to be the last question here on the left.
Mr. Burke, what is your opinion of Fantastic Fest and the fact that your film is open?
Oh, we're all very honored about it. I mean, I've heard about it. I haven't been to Austin. I was here in like 1987 working with a writer who lived here, and I loved it. And so it's nice to, it's like 20, how many years is that? It's great, and because I've heard about it being a great festival, so we're really honored that it's here. So thank you for having us.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.